And Remy and Femi Ugurunde, and they are from Regina, Saskatchewan, via Nigeria, Africa. So anyway, and they have an apostolic work in Saskatchewan that I am also connected with. And they have a real heart for bringing nations into their purpose and into their calling, churches into their purposes and callings. And so I want to introduce Femi and Remy Ugurunde.
Well, I just want to say we're grateful to all of you beautiful people for having us in your midst. And we've had a great time, I tell you, since we got here on Tuesday. And I continue to say Apostle Jake and Sandy, they are keepers as well, as far as we know. We love them, and we love this family. That's it. It's done. And I also want to say something about Darlene. She's she is an apostle of the Lord, and we've been privileged to be connected to her for donkey years. So like a donkey years now. And so, but she is one woman that has an eye for gold. Like, she knows the real when she sees it. So that's been one of our greatest privileges of knowing and being friends and family with Darlene. And Gary is Papa Pastor. He is an amazing, not only a minstrel, but has a heart, a father's heart, you know. So we just bless you and thank you for being awesome, just like your papa is. So I'll hand it over to Femi.
Ooh, glory. So what time is it now? Quarter to. So I got what time? 45 minutes. Okay, so 15. Okay, so yeah, okay. By 11:30. No, not 2 hours. Amen. Quickly, you know, just as we're worshiping, it was just so wonderful, the wordings that we had. We will dance in the freedom you've won for us. How many know that in the government of God, you are free?
Yeah.
And that's the whole weekend is all about, because we're celebrating the government of God that's been ushered into this area. And that government is the apostolic government of God that mandates you and I that we're sent. When you have a sense that you are sent somewhere, you are not afraid. Because heaven backs your sending. Angels are released. Resources are released for you. And you'll be established in that which God has called you to do. That's the freedom we're celebrating this morning. We were dancing the freedom he won for us. Because in his government is not autocratic. It is not bullying. It's not abusive. God's government. Beautiful government. That you have freedom to be everything that God has called you to be. Because you are aligned with heaven. That's what we're celebrating this morning. Some of you don't understand the fact that some nations are in turmoil. They are in real oppressive. They are under slavery, even though slavery has been abolished. We have a great country like this country where we have, thank God that, you know what, I don't know where you stand, but I tell you what, God actually intervened for this country. This country, whoa, don't even go there. I tell you, Christianity will almost be outlawed in this country. If we have another 16 years of the same rule that we had, we will have been in serious trouble. Serious trouble. And would have affected nations upon nations. Because God has a prophetic destiny for your nation. You know what? Don't allow anyone to tell you that, well, why are you putting your nose in everywhere in the nation role? That's your role. God called you to be one that will champion the cause of human rights. Justice. That's your call. And you better answer that call. And someone wants to erode your call by saying that, oh, who called us to be leading the nations of the world? We're just going to be mamby-pamby. Thank God somebody came up and stopped this nonsense going on. Because you have a destiny. You think God assigned destinies to nations. If you don't answer your call, someone else will take it over and oppress you. Russia was about to do that. Thank God that God actually saw from him and says, it's not going to happen on my watch. Be proud as Americans. You understand me? That's who God has called you to be. And know God and make God famous. I'm jealous of what I see in your White House because I'm seeing they're having prayer. They can mention Jesus, God, everything. And we cannot do it in our own nation. You mention Jesus Christ in the public arena, that's it. But it's going to change. You know, where? No, I'm coming. I'm going somewhere. It's going to change. It will change. That's why some of us are so passionate about this call, and God is taking some of us and retraining us and say, you're going to go into the corridors of power and effect some change. And I'm finding out the route to going into government of our nation, God help us. Corruption. Do you know? Money politics. It's all over. But we will get there. If Daniel can be put into fire and the fire did not burn him, we will go through whatever it takes to be in the corridors of power and bring policies that will make our God famous. And someone needs to say, you know what? I'm challenged by what you're saying right now. Some of you just saying, you know, instead of saying, you know what? I want to be a Supreme Court justice in this country. And I'm going to do all the training I can get. If it takes me 10 years to get to Harvard, I'll get there. And be the best you can be and be in top. And so you can, thank God we got somebody from Colorado that is conservative, will have been finished. That's how he got into that place, and there's going to be more replacement coming. Yes. Yeah. It will happen. Yeah. There's some people that just hate God, they hate God, they hate whatever God stands for, they hate his God's people, and they want to legislate and bring policies and bring laws into this nation that makes us to become anti-Christ. Against our will. Against what we stand for. It's not going to happen. Wow. Quickly, you know, there's someone here, I don't know who you are, but about 24 years ago, just about 1994, just think a little bit. You had a trauma come into your life. Something happened to you, significantly happened to you. And the thought is coming back again. And God says, no, don't think about what I have dealt with in 24 years ago. It's not going to happen. You're being set free, but don't allow the enemy to play on your mind again. 24 years ago, 1994. I don't know who you are, but I'm just going to throw that out there. And your Northland College is going to be upgraded to a university status. It's going to happen. This one here. You look at it and say, how can it happen to 8,000 people? Watch it. It's an upgrade. It's a sign. Upgrade. Upgrade for your city. Upgrade for this region. Upgrade. People will be coming into this place. They say, well, what is there in this place? Glory. And when you begin to sense the glory of God, there'll be some new industries around the within 60, 70 kilometers radius to the east. Where's east? That way. Yep. Something's going to happen that would cause you to know that God is in charge of this area. Some hidden deposits have not been found. It will be discovered.
That's,
it will be.
That's 40 miles.
Yeah, it will happen.
Yeah, 40 miles.
40 miles. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone by name Alice? Alice? Alice. Family member Alice that you know? Anyone in this church, Alice, or your family member, this name Alice? Yeah. Okay, who is that? Okay, a friend, where is she? In this country. Okay, is she okay? Do we have to pray for her right now? Okay, Father, we thank you for Alice. Whatever Alice is going through, I don't want to know, but you know it. And you want to show a sign and a wonder to her to know that even though she's not here, she can be prayed for. Father, meet her at the point of her needs and let her know right now at this very hour that we're praying something happening to her, changing some circumstances and bringing her to the divine connection with you, with heaven. Lord, touch her body, touch her mind, and Lord God, remove the worries and release her into the glorious liberty of the sons and daughters of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. That was good. Yum, yum. Yeah. Well, somebody had a traumatic experience 24 years ago, about 1994. And the enemy is trying to play in your mind again just recently with the thought that, you know, something like that might happen again. Well, God says it's not going to happen. He's dealt with it. The enemy wants to put fear, and fear can cripple you. Fear can actually make you to submit to that which God has dealt with 24 years ago. So I'm just saying that if you're that person, you're being plagued, something's plaguing your mind, it's not going to happen. Just stand. So you got something you want to say? Is there anything? Okay. Just elaborate a little bit. That's good. Amen. Now, I have learned to be so foolish before you and be wise before God. I'm just a courier. I carry message and I release it. So whether or not somebody says, yeah, to make me look happy, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to be a donkey for Jesus. Just open my mouth and it releases it and that's it. Whatever it takes. But I've seen many times that things like that have happened. It's just been profoundly accurate. And sometimes we miss it too. Don't you just like that? We can miss it. Because I'm trying to hear my Father in heaven. And he's not going to take a club and club me down because I'm trying to speak for him. So practice. Hello? Practice hearing from God. There's freedom to do that. Hello? Oh, you got something?
Oh, yeah, come.
I was sitting there, and all of a sudden my phone flashed. And so I picked it up, and then the Lord started speaking to me about something that's about to happen. Near critical fire weather conditions today in Thief River Falls. Near critical fire weather conditions today in Thief River Falls. There is the fire of God is about to be poured out in this region in a tremendous way. And I feel like the whole challenge of Elijah challenging the prophets of Baal, of the fire that fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice so that the people around the region would know who is God. Who is God? And I feel like this is the Lord giving you a heads up that the fire of God, he said about a unit, the minute he said that the college here is going to be changed into a university is because Thief River Falls has found favor in the sight of God. It has found favor in the sight of God, and God is getting ready to ignite the place in fire. in fire, calling down the fire of God, calling down the fire of God, calling down the fire of God. And if you look at your weather statement, you will see that it's right there. When whatever is told in the natural will happen in the spiritual. And I believe that if we have the faith of God, we have the faith of God, not your faith, His faith, that the fire of God will fall down here because the climate has changed here. Because of the conferences that have been going on, you have no idea that you've been seeding the atmosphere over your own city. There is a seeding of the atmosphere over your own city. There's going to be a liberation among people. There's going to be a liberation in the spirit. You are going to see signs and wonders and miracles, and people are going to sign up and say, you know what? I think there's people that are going to uproot the roots and move here. And God is going to add on to the work that is going on in Thief River Falls. And so just as it changes and shifts from a college town into a university town, a university city. Yeah. And it's interesting, when I saw that, I'm going, God, wow. Near critical fire weather conditions, strong south winds combined with low afternoon humidities will create areas of concern with respect to fire and growth. That's what it says.
Amen. Come on, clap for Jesus, right? Come on. Amen. I want to share with you about 10 to 12 points concerning this whole area, especially this church. Jacob, in the Bible, had an experience in a place called Luz. And that place is called a certain place. It had no name. It had no significance. The Bible calls that place L-U-Z, Luz. But one individual who is a supplanter, who had the unenviable character of someone who supplants and lies and is crooked and perverse in his character, can actually take a whole certain place, ordinary place, and make it the gate of heaven. Oh, you didn't hear that, did you? A perverted, flawed character, a supplanter who was so hungry for the spiritual that he will lie, he will get his mom to lie with him to do whatever it takes because he's so hungry for the spiritual. Yet he went after it in a perverse way. A supplanter, a liar, a perjurer, took a certain place, an ordinary place, and because of covenant with his forefathers, he tapped into the covenant and changed an ordinary place to Bethel, house of God, or gate of heaven. What has happened in this place is simply Thief River Falls is a certain place that the Community Church International has decided to touch heaven and to tap into heaven and change this ordinary place to become the gate of heaven. Did you just hear that now? Now, I didn't say your leadership is perverse or flawless, but truly, hello, humans are flawed. But because of the blood of the Son of God and the covenant that we have, the common union that we have, by the way, if you can get me communion element, we're going to do communion. I'm just stopping to something in heaven now. Because of the common union we have with the Jesus with his flesh and his blood, we can transform an ordinary place to become the gate of heaven. A Bethel, a place where angels ascend and descend. I want you to understand me today. I want you to know that this place, this church, like any other church, this church is not just another church. This church must transition to become so aligned with heaven that you bring resources from heaven and transform this region. And people will say, well, what kind of church is that? That they don't have more than 100 or 100 to 200 people and they are transforming a place. If one person can do it, God doesn't need 10,000 people to do it. He just needs a church that will become apostolic in the true sense of apostolicity. Yes. Because what does that mean? It means that you stand and say, we are sent to this place. It doesn't matter whether this place is an ordinary place. It doesn't matter whether this place is a certain place. It doesn't matter whether someone has come and named this place with some name that you does not bear any resemblance to what God is talking about. But yet, you can change Thief River Falls to Bethel. You can. And God is looking for a group of people. And he called them together. And he put them into what is called community church. And that church is not just community church in the sense of, oh, let everybody come. No, no. It's a church that has a common union with the covenant of God. It's a church that has common union with one another, but also has a union with heaven. So if you really want to be a truly apostolic house or center, then you have to begin to answer to your name as a community of people that are united together for the purpose of the kingdom, to see his kingdom come and to see his will being done here on earth. And God is not moved by numbers. God can say by one, and God can say by multitudes. If he gets one, great. Two, oh, bonus. He got Jacob, one person. Hello? He got Jacob. But he has a group of people here that are bonded together in the unity of faith. This is what I see for this church. We're in an era where there is what is called disruptive technology. Before God speaks, when God is speaking to a people, he uses the natural, that which is natural first, and then the spiritual. And we're not following what is happening in the world, but the world is pointing at something that is already happening in the spirit before they were now doing it in the natural. And God says, look at the natural. Look at what is going on. What is going on in the world today? Internet of everything. Very soon, we're going to be replacing people with machines. Artificial intelligence, robotics, all over the place. Machine. God help us that the church begin to engage with society in such a way that God is, let me tell you one thing that God is doing. He's disrupting all our agendas. If you don't know, I know it. It's making us have a holy discontent with what is going on within what is called a church. Even when you have 1 million people gather in one place and you feel so big that, oh, I'm doing something. Look at all the crowd and I'm successful. Redefine what is success. Hello? What is happening is that suddenly MasterCard, Visa card, they have all these things. They think they have a monopoly, and someone comes, was a startup company from Israel, and say, no, you don't need to have a credit card again. You can actually have your ring. You can have a chip on it, and you pass by, and it's charged. You can pick something and put it in your pocket and walk away because you are charged already. This is where the world is going, disruptive technology. Somebody thinks they have a corner on marketing. It's not going to happen. Products are not the issue for us these days. In the days of technology, it's service industry. Because I don't want to go to the market. You can have all the products you have, but how am I going to get the product right into my own house without leaving my house? Service. Everybody can produce anything, but you will not sell nothing if you don't capture the market by servicing. That's where the world is going. What is the church doing? What is the church doing? What is the church of God, the ecclesia? What are we doing? We have governments of nations. We have a Senate, House of Representatives. What do? They come together and they discuss. You know what? Their worship is fighting first. They fight, they duke it out. And then they settle down and they pass and they start making the laws and everything like that. And they pass it on and the governor accent to it or the president. But in the true ecclesia, what do? We come together and we worship the King of Kings. We talk to the King of Kings. We worship him and his throne comes in and we begin to say, these are decrees. These are policies that we have. Yes. And we begin to write out our policy and begin to prophesy our policies that we want enacted here. And God says, yes, these are my governmental people. And you look at one another and say, well, look at our number. It has nothing to do with number. Here's Gideon. Gideon was a mighty man of valor. And the angel came and said, hey, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. You're right. God is with us. And I'm here hiding, threshing corn in a wine press. It doesn't happen. How can I'm hiding? Angel, don't you know? The Midianite spirit is against us, coming after us. We don't know what to do. So we're hiding. Isn't that what the church is doing today? Hiding away in the four corners of the building. Say, so, well, nobody's going to listen to us because they call us all sorts of names. We're bigoted. We're racist. We're this, we're that. And so we keep quiet. We back off and we say, oh, don't go out. Just it, no anymore, not anymore, not on my watch. The church of the living God, the ecclesia of God, is God's government on planet Earth. Don't look at yourself and say, well, we're not strong enough. Oh God, if only you can help us, just like Gideon. And God says, you are a mighty man of valor and woman of valor. Let me just read to you so that in case you're wondering what is going to happen to you, Zechariah prophesies about your strength. Zechariah 12. You know what? I'm supposed to be preaching something. I'm preaching something else. Okay, let's go on. Glory to God. Zechariah chapter 12. Now, this is a messianic scripture about Jerusalem. How many times have Jerusalem been destroyed and another person takes it? You know, the Gentiles are treading on it. Ottoman Turks ruled it for about how many years? 50 or 100, whatever years they ruled there. And then one day, suddenly, one from 1917 to 1948, and suddenly, after 100 years, God says, it's over. Somebody takes out, it's my land, it belongs to me. Squatters have been squatting on the land. And look at, Jerusalem has had so much of history of takeovers. Ottoman Turks, the Mamluks, name it. It just too many foundations. You go to Jerusalem, you see, they say, well, that level that you're seeing was in this and that, another level, all pavements of destruction and ruins and rebuilding. But guess what the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. The feeblest amongst them will be like David. Who is David? King. So as feeble as you think you are today in the church of the living God, in the ecclesia, you are as strong as David. You are a king. Yeah. That's who you are. Whether you believe it or not, this is what the Bible says about you. He would defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this he says again. And the house of David. First day when we got here, I said, this is the house of David, isn't it? The house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. In other words, a house of fortress, a house of legislation, a house of power, a house of signs and wonders and miracles, a house where God says, yes, this is exactly what is going to happen. And so, what manner of people ought we to be in this ecclesia called Community Church International? This is what you need to begin to think about and begin to track with. Number one, in an apostolic house, there has to be set man or set people. Apostles govern the house of God. The true ecclesia is governed by an apostle in tandem with the fivefold ministry gifting that God is released within the house. And what does that mean? Then you begin to notice one thing. When you begin to see Jake preach, the message, he integrates the message of integrity with the message of kingdom influence. He will always find out how he brings the integrity of that message by living out that message before you, but also causing this church to have influence outside of the four walls. The emphasis is going to be Christ-like characteristics of simplicity, humility, and personal transformation. That's what you're going to begin to see with your leaders. They will be humble. They'll be simple in their message, their package, and they will be living a life of personal transformation. Not merely calling us to engage society, you know, cultural engagement, but they will begin to see that your life, internal infrastructure in your own life is now used to influence your city. Because if you cannot take the ground here, you cannot take the ground outside there. So the message you're going to be hearing right from this pulpit will be a message that integrates integrity with the message of kingdom influence. Number two, you're going to begin to see your church foster a new level of collaboration and partnership with the body of Christ. There'll be no longer being territorial and say, well, this is our territory. We don't want anyone to come around here. We're in charge here. All of a sudden, you find your pastor collaborating with churches in 100 kilometers away, 70 kilometers away, and really church of influence. You are influencing some things in other areas, and you're still here. Your sphere is beginning to be enlarged. Look at what it says, international, not just local, but global. In other words, global and local together. I got it from my friend. It's not copyrighted, so I copied him. And I copied right. The cultural war that is going on in our nations against religious freedom is causing the body of Christ to come together in a new way that we've not been doing before. It's causing us to forge new alliances and work together. The apostolic is about partnership, collaboration, so that we can advance something of the kingdom. While we will not compromise our theological beliefs, while we're not going to compromise some things about our distinctiveness, yet we will be willing to collaborate, involving forging new partnerships, and this is going to be intentional, because if you look at Acts 13, there was diversity in the leadership of the church. And you guys, like I said, the first day I got here, you guys are going to begin to attract nations right here. We found Liberians here. Watch it. You're going to start having Nigerians come. Watch it. It's going to happen. That's another sign for you. They're going to be coming from Spanish-speaking countries, Central America, South America. It's going to happen. It's going to populate here. It's going to be so diverse. That's exactly what happened to our church, because when God said this is an apostolic church, well, it took us a number of years, but we kept plowing, we began prophesying, we changed our name in 1999, and once we changed our name, nations started coming. Because we're prophesying where we're going or what we stand for. Lighthouse to all nations. So light is shone and nations are coming. From a predominantly monoculture, all Caucasians in our church, but today it's mixed. From one black person in the church. Didn't care. I wasn't even looking at my color. I was so comfortable, because the greatest love, I mean, the people in Saskatchewan in our church love us so much that I didn't even feel that kind of love in Nigeria. Are you hearing me? It has nothing to do with your color, guys. This heart. We were so loved and so respected, so honored. It's like, wow. Some of our leaders have been with us for as long as we've been pastors in that place. For 23 years. They've not broken ranks. They're not jockeying for position. They are content in who God has called them, because we are joyful to see them released into what God has called them, and we're fulfilling our call. We're not arguing. We're not fighting. We know who we are. We are secured in our identities. So we're not fighting one person and say, you're not supposed to be here. Because we go after what is, you know what? True apostolic is really a true apostolic leader or father will go to you and say, what is on your heart that God has told you to do? Not, come and join me and serve my vision. Kill the sacred cow. What is on your heart? What is God telling you? You're part of my life. We're in a family. You don't tell your children, well, you need to be a lawyer. Well, that's being autocratic, because you are already ruling and really taking over the will of that person. That's witchcraft. You're trying to live your life through your own children by forcing them to do what they're not called, they're not wired to do. And they don't want to do it, and you're forcing them to do it. You say, well, I'll pay your school fees if you go and do this. That's manipulation and witchcraft. And it's happening in families. I will not give you this money if you don't go do this. And the child says, I want to learn music. I want to wax records. I want to do this. Say, no, you're not doing that in my home. I save money for you. I want to be a lawyer. And the kid go to be a lawyer, and it's a lousy lawyer. My own cousin, whose father was very influential in Nigeria, who was actually a minister of education, eventually forced his children. He wanted one of his sons, forced that guy to go and read medicine. The guy says, I want to read agriculture. Guess what? He finished. He's a doctor. And he moved to England. He could not even pass PLAB exam to actually convert to be a doctor in Britain. So all the years of learning wasted, because that's not his passion. He's regretting it. Today he's really upset with his dad. His dad is in the grave or whatever. I don't know where he is. But he's not happy with his dad, because he overruled his will. He castrated his son. He did. Fathers, be careful. True apostolic leader will not castrate their sons. They will not. They will not force them to do what they're not called to. They will not wire to do. They will ask you, what is your music? What is your song? Tell me. And they begin to come alongside with you. Say, yeah, let's fulfill this together. Let's work together. Let's help you to do it. And let's celebrate you while you're doing it. And while you make mistakes, we cover for you. We help you. By doing that, they are fulfilling their own call. Number three, one of the characteristics of a new apostolic church is that they believe more in the fruit of the ministry than laying heavy on titles. Now, does that mean that we will not call whoever is functioning that God has called to be the set man? If you're an apostle, if I say you're an apostle, you're not in the top, you're not in the apex, you're just in the bottom. That's what it means. Hello. So don't be afraid of calling someone an apostle, because what you're just saying is that, hey, foundation, hey, and you guys are building on top of that. Hello? You want to talk about somebody being foundation? What does foundation mean? You put heavy load on foundation. That's who those guys are. They carry the whole house. They're not on top. They're not. They will tell you they're not on top. So it's not hierarchy. It's not. Don't even go there. Apostle are hierarchy. No. Bottom. Why are you going to say that? When you call Jake by the fact that it's an apostle, what you are doing is that you are releasing the grace of God over his life to function very well. And you access that grace gift on his life to be a foundation laying. No wonder he's working in concrete. He's pouring concrete. He knows how to do it. He knows how to lay foundation. I didn't even know that in the natural, that's what he's been. God has been training this man in the natural before the spiritual. I tell you what, if I was in this city, I will come to this church and that will be my apostle. This is what will be. Because he knows how to lay foundation. You bet. He's been laying it for years in the natural. How much more in the spirit? Number four, emphasis in this house is going to be servanthood. The greatest of you must be servant of all. Acts, John chapter 13. When Jesus Christ was going to die, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, they all red letter words. What does that mean? The words of a dying man are very important. What was the first thing he started telling the disciples? Acts 13. He came into the place where they were already, John 13, where they were already seated, and nobody was able to even wash his feet and gave him, you know, some comfort to come in. And he took the towel and bent down and get what I said. He knelt and began to wash the feet of the disciples. Servanthood is so important in the apostolic. It is servant ministry. Serving the purpose of God in your lives. Serving the purpose of God in this region. Serving the purpose of God in this nation. Serving the purpose of God in the nations of the world. That's what is a true apostolic church is. And what does that mean? It means that these people that are seated here will key into this greater vision that God has given to you. You have an assignment, guys. It's an assignment of transforming the spheres that God has brought you into.
Amen. Yes.
I said it again. If one man, Jacob, so flawed in his character, but because of covenant can change a place, how much more we who have been born again, redeemed, and bought over by Jesus Christ, how much more we can change a place? Are you hearing me? The feeble amongst you will be like David, like a king. Stand up in the morning, walk confidently. We are changing this place. Prophesy, go on the road, walk on the road, prophesy. We're going to have a university here. We're going to change here. We're not moving. People are coming to meet us here because something is happening here. There is a gold here. There is industries here. Prophesy, guys. Create the world you want. Create the heaven you want around yourself by this word in your lips. By the words, God framed the world. Hebrews 11, frame the world you want. If somebody speaks negative around you, say, well, thief, revenge, kind of, yeah. Shut up. Get out of town. We own this place. We're called here. We have a destiny here. I'm a love slave. I've been captured by his love. I would change this place, whatever it takes. If it's hard, I'll break it. With these words, like a hammer and like a fire. If we, the church, can change a whole province that was called not enough, poor, poverty was written over our province in Saskatchewan. Way back in the 70s, 80s, and even 90s, up until 2007, Saskatchewan was a place where our children live after they finish high school. They were going out to the West Coast or the East Coast. Say, well, the last man should turn off the light in this place because it's not a place people want to stay. They cannot wait to finish their grade 12. They're out of the door. Because it was Ichabod. Glory departed because of poverty. It was so poor that it stunk. We were so lazy as a province because we had a government that came and had a manifesto from Communist Manifesto, it's called, and they opened that manifesto and declared it over our province, and this province will be like this. And they ruled for 16 years. But we came in about the time they came into government and we began to pray. Began to call leaders together. We cannot have this in this province. People looked at us and said, he's been here for long. Well, demons can be squatting on your ground for too long, but you own the land. You can tell that person, if you know your authority, get them out. Poverty was squatting on our properties in Saskatchewan. I mean, you go to some areas, it's like, oh God, have mercy. Is this Canada? Very poor. It looked like third world country. Lawns were not mowed. House dilapidating under a government that says, oh, we will give you everything you want. We'll give you everything you want. Just vote for us. We'll give you your meds. We'll give you, we'll give you money and we'll pay your rent. Flip channel from morning till afternoon, and then go and eat and go back to channel flipping and flip the channel till 12 midnight and go to bed. Wake up the next morning, flip channels again. Don't dream. As long as you don't dream, we'll continue to. That is evil. When creative abilities of God is here inside of you, somebody subjugated. That's, you know what? It's called modern day slavery. It's practice. We still practice slavery. It's been abolished a long time. Not by emancipation proclamation, but by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
We're still practicing it. All these rogue governments that we vote for, and sometimes we don't even vote for them. They rig their ways into our lives and they begin to legislate and begin to make us slaves. We got to get up. The government of God needs to get up. The feeble amongst you will be like David, and the house of David will be like angel of God or God. In other words, the word of God is with you. Proclaim it. We are changing this. Watch this. If Israel can be in slavery for 430 years, and everybody thought, Egypt thought, oh, we got them. Oh, they're going to be slaves forevermore. God says, I've seen. I've heard. It has come to my heart. What these people are suffering. And these are my people that I have my purpose wrapped around them, because the Messiah was going to come from this nation. God is a great investor. Don't you just love him? He went and took one man from the camp of the enemy who was serving a pantheon of gods. And he said, there's only one true God. How can someone who had believed there are millions of gods, and someone goes there and picked him and said, no, this, you don't believe this. You need to believe me. And he walked with God. And from one man comes a nation. And from that nation comes your king and my king, who is now the savior of the world. And has given us the commission to go and make disciples of nations. Oh, don't you just love this narrative? I love it. I love it. How are we doing with time? Emphasis is on servanthood, servant heart, humility, self-sacrifice, not top-down autocratic leadership approach of imposing the will upon the congregation, but instead it is like coming together and pleading together, working together, collaborating together. They make the mark of the success of their ministry as serving the will of God on planet Earth. See, do not measure yourself with other churches, guys. You will never be like any other church. You are different. You have to know that you are different. God is not a cookie cutter. He doesn't need to reproduce you, duplicates of you all over the place. You are unique. Don't compare yourself. Don't compare this church with any other ecclesia in this city or in this nation. You are unique. Take it that you are unique. And measure your success not by the amount of people that come on Sunday and this place is packed. Everybody says, oh, it's packed. What is packed? And you're not doing nothing. Hallelujah, hobos. Eternal Trump. Not going anywhere. But you want to go somewhere. You want to do something. You want to align with heaven. You want to be a conduit of his blessing. You want to be an agent of change. You want to be able to walk like a lightning rod in the place. You enter into a place, something happens. Because you dare open your mouth to speak princely words. Words of encouragement. Words that transform. Words that create a heavenly atmosphere in a place where there's death. You know what? You guys need to deal with what is this whole thing about suicide in this place. Take authority. Stop this nonsense. Wanting to take our young people and kill them before time. There's a murderous spirit around. Let's deal with it. It's in violation. Change a certain place called Thief River Falls into God River Falls. Oh, I love that. Oh, there's no way I can finish this. Number five, the church leadership must identify both the marketplace leaders and also the ones who are serving within the ecclesia. So important. There is no dichotomy between marketplace leaders. Some of them are apostles. We don't call them apostles. We don't have to necessarily call them apostles. But they are apostles in the marketplace. They are business captains. They're CEOs. That's the parlance. Use CEO for them and make it relevant in the marketplace. If you call me, if I was doing business, I go in, you know, go to meet, you know, like if I'm talking to university that I want to do something for them, I can go to them and say, you know, I'm an apostle. Like, really? What? Wrong address? You don't belong here. But if I go to them and I tell them I'm CEO of an educational consulting company, I do consultations for universities. I do that as well. I do international advising for university for international cooperation. I do that. But you will never see my card and put Apostle Joe Blow. It ain't going to happen. I'll get kicked out quickly. So use the language, the verbiage that actually connects you with what you are supposed to be doing in the marketplace. Tell them confidently, I am a CEO of this company. But when I got to my church people, I said, I am pastor, I'm this, I'm that, I'm apostle. Yeah, we don't understand that language. But when I go outside, it's different. So there are marketplace leaders here who are CEOs of their own companies that really, they are apostles in the marketplace. But we don't call them that, but we call them CEOs. And they're really making influence there. So there's no dichotomy. That's why it's so important to acknowledge all the marketplace leaders within the house. The business people, the ones that are doing something in the marketplace, because you will not be able to go to some of these places, but they go there. They're being sent, commission them. Anytime you find someone, start a new business. Apostle, you guys, commission them. Lay hands on them. You're sent to the marketplace. Go and make a difference and celebrate them when they come back. Not just take their money alone. Because some churches just like, oh yeah, the business people are there to finance us. Yeah, right. No. No. They're on assignment. Like the police officers in our, the police officer in our church, when we prophesied on her that she's going to be a sergeant from corporal, from Lance Corporal, a private, to become a sergeant, she goes, how can that happen? Well, she became a sergeant. Within how many months of this was spoken to her, and all the people that trained her, she's now their boss. And she goes, some of these people drive their cars all over the place, and what are they doing? Government is paying them to intercede. Rabakuta rababa, shekra gabuke braka. Oh, I love that kind of job. You're paying me to intercede. So on my watch, there's no crime. And they wonder, why is it that you go out, there's no crime? Oh, you ask me. Well, I pray when I'm driving. And you cannot stop me not to talk. And we say, what do you mean? I speak in tongues. Like a lunatic. And when I come to the office, I shut my mouth. So you cannot accuse me that I'm driving, I'm watching. Is there any crime there? Not on my watch. At the end of the month, I get my money, put it in my pocket. And they say, good report. My goodness. Anytime this guy is in that area, there's peace. Because the Son of Peace is with you. Don't you just love that? You're going host of angels that have been assigned to me on this assignment, let's go. And they enter you into the car. They say, God, we're having fun today. Rakabu shetala. Yeah, we'll stop that one. Reketeta brodo. No crime there. No homicide there. Rukababa. Not on my watch. Or you're in the bank. Some people are bringing money and you're already counting money. You don't open your mouth because you become religious. Hello? You're counting. And this is fake. Now, in the leadership of the Antioch Church in Acts 13, this is amazing. It involved a businessman with real estate. His name is Barnabas. Look at Acts 4, 36 to 37. They had a politician amongst the Manaim. It was a politician. Not just a career religious leader like Paul. This man was a statesman. We have a business person in leadership. They had a marketplace ministry, but they were part of the apostolic in the house. Like, for example, Tom is a business person, isn't it? But he can serve in the house. Jake is a business person outside. Tom is, and Jeff is. Everyone is there, but we still can serve here. So why are we going to just say, oh, he didn't go to Bible school? Well, in the dispensation that we have, you're not necessarily going to go to Bible school because there's a training ground here. That's why you have the school of the supernatural. That's why those guys will not begin to, they're going to be doing more training. You're going to say, oh my goodness, what are we doing? Training to reign. You may not have conferences because I'm telling you, one of the things about the apostolic is that we're tired of conferences if it doesn't produce results. But you want to have a dialogue, you want to have small groups like we're having to, you know, this, you know, teaching and we're interacting. That's the kind of thing we want to produce results. We want to see you engage society. Sometimes we have conferences. After the conference, what happens? People just roll away like marble. They never come back again. Then they come back next year to get a fix. Another year to get a fix. You ask them, what are you doing with what are you? Oh, I got a set of tapes. Oh, glory to God. You know, one time when that Bobby Connor came, oh, it was so good. But what did you do with it? In the apostolic, true apostolic house will challenge you, what are you doing with the teaching you're receiving? In the apostolic, true apostolic house, the teaching of the seven molders of society will be so prevalent because your apostolic leaders will begin to find out your gifting and your calling and begin to help you to channel your engagement with society based on the call of God upon your life. If you're a business person, go in there. If you're in education mountain, do it. If you're in this mountain, sometimes you have two or three mountains together. Some of you need to get into arts and entertainment. Some of you need to get into media. We don't also have to, every one of us looking for pulpit on Sunday, I'm going to prophesy. Well, use the media to prophesy. Guess what is happening? CNN is giving us news every day. Boom, 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 boom. But I don't even watch it again. I cannot even stand 1 minute of it. Because it's all about, oh, look at Melania today. She's not looking good. She's angry. Well, tomorrow, well, the guy, you know, stumbled a little bit. Maybe had too much drink. What is that news? Guys, that's pettiness. I'm sorry. It's about time the ecclesia takes over the media and give us good news. Give us good news. You open the radio, you open the television, there's no, the only one news we have today is the good news. And that was a dead person for the last 10 days. He rose from the dead, not even stinking, and back to work. That's good news, guys, for a change. Or that the whole senators got up and they bowed their heads when they were praying and said, God, have mercy on us. And they were all saved. That would be good news. Hello? or a Muslim guy that wants to do evil, a jihadist that wants to do evil, and comes out and say, I repent because the power of God zapped me as Jesus Christ is Lord. That's good news, guys. You think it won't happen? It will happen. And it's happening. Is Mr. Manning here? Mr. Manning. Okay, well, he's the one doing Hope Festival. Yeah, well, that festival, I have a word for that festival. Some incredible things are going to begin to happen in that if we do not just do the festival just to gather people alone, but that there will be intercessors that will be assigned to pray so that there will be angelic host that is touching people in those festivals. And people say, I just got healed. Or someone says, well, I had an encounter. Well, I saw Jesus in the crowd. I saw this. That's what's going to be happening, because that is actually a tool in God's hand. They think they are coming for music, and God is touching them. Can we have communion right now? Father, we thank you. Serve these elements and let us, the whole church together, I want us to rise up and stand together and commune with God. And then come together and look at one another in the face and say, we're standing together. I have a common union with you. We have a common destiny in Christ. We're not breaking ranks. We are standing together, and we're going to do what God has called us to do in this house. You guys want to pray about it?
Holy Spirit, we honor you. We honor the plans that you have for this place. We honor you this day, Lord, as being the head of the house, as being the head of the plans, as being the head of the destiny, as being the one that will direct the path, Lord. We honor you today. And we come before you, Lord, wanting to know your plans and purposes and your destiny. And Lord, we remember the words of Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. Father, you are writing things today. You are writing things upon everyone's heart that feels the call of God. Lord, not just it's everyone, Lord, the children, Lord, the adults, God. There's something that you're writing, Lord. In Jesus' name, there's a fresh page of the Holy Spirit being written right now. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we're stepping into a destiny. We're stepping into a future here, Father. In Jesus' name. And Lord, there is a line that separates the past from this place, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, everything, Lord, has shifted. Everything has changed. Everything is progressive from this point on, Lord, in Jesus' name. There is a line in the sand, Lord, that we have crossed. We have crossed into our future, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Father, we're going to take communion this morning. We're going to take it with one another. And Lord, as we take it, we're saying, I accept the call. I lay down my life to this call. As you laid down your life for me, I lay down my life for this call. The body was broken. May we be broken for only one purpose, and it's your purpose, Lord. Your blood was shed, Lord. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, Lord. And what you are doing, God, you are using us to forgive the sin in the region, Lord. To bring forgiveness, to bring your presence into this region, God, in Jesus' name. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the body that was broken. I just feel that the Lord, if you accept the new call, if you accept this commission that I believe God is commissioning right now, if you accept it, when you take part of the bread, you're saying, my body is going to be broken for this purpose in this region. For the purpose, I thank God that he shed his blood for me. I thank God that his body was paid out for one purpose, and that was God's purpose. So I too agree with that. And I accept that commission for the destiny of this region. And then as we take part of the blood, his blood was shed for us. And Lord, I lay down my life for the sake of this region in Jesus' name. Just come as he's come and partake. This is holy. This is a holy moment. It is a holy commissioning.
Just do it on your own. Go in groups, look at one another, and covenant with God and with one another. So important. Because if someone is weak, you can say, hey, remember, we're together on this.
Chains, Jesus. Jesus. This time right now, after we participated together in communion, I just received a word, and if you could receive this word, especially over this weekend with our brothers and sisters from Saskatchewan, Regina, Saskatchewan, this is a sending out. And whatever that means to you, if it's in a business sense, if it's in a ministry sense, because your businesses are ministries. And so at this time, we send. Why don't you just stretch your hands up? I'll stretch our hands up and we will address that God will send us out. And we will be an apostolic voice, which means Ecclesia, we will be the governments. We will look at the governments of God, and we will follow the governments of God in such a way that it'll benefit not only our own personal lives, but the church life and the lives of people throughout the earth. We send forth this body. We send forth each person, and we commission them that they would be the Ecclesia, that they would be a governmental force, that they would have the power to change things in their business, to change things in their homes, in their personal lives, to change things in the state, the city and the state, and the nation and the nations. And we release that upon each one, that they would be an ecclesia, that they would be a person of influence, that they would be a person that is doing great and wonderful exploits because they know their God. We send them forth even this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. The chosen ecclesia, bless you. I do want to mention Thursday night, we have a group coming from Montana, from YWAM. I believe it was YWAM. And anyway, on Thursday night, what time was that, Jeff? Do you remember? 6:30. Okay. All right, we got it up. That's good. That's easier yet. So if you have young people and yourself to come on out and enjoy them, I'm not quite for sure what it's all going to be about. There's going to be music, I think testimony, and it's about a lot of young people that have got together and they're traveling, and so they'll meet four or five times in different areas around the area. So all right, well, God bless you. May you have a wonderful week. Actually, the commissioning is believe that God, you're walking in God's blessing in every aspect, especially in your business, Bethany. Especially in your business. Because the enemy wants to turn something, but we're not listening to the enemy. We're turning it. We are the ecclesia, and we declare health and freedom on your life and your kids, and we stand with you, and as you cover us, we cover you. We cover each other. All right, bless you.